This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Back worried. All right, now, what about you buy a big rifle, all right? You buy a, for whatever reason. Should you have to register that so the FBI knows the serial number, knows you have it, knows you have it in your house? Should you have to do that?
Well, right now, if you look at the real rules, regulations, and laws right now, you have pretty good laws in terms of registration. I was actually surprised to see it. I saw it 2-3 weeks ago where they show me laws. I mean, if we obey the laws that are already in existence, if we follow those laws already in existence,
okay, but theoretically,
you have pretty good rights.
Do you, you know, there are a lot of gun advocates, and including the NRA industry, they don't want the government to know what they're holding because they think the government down the line going to seize their guns. So theoretically,
yeah.
Is it okay with you if the FBI knows?
I think that, frankly, I've stayed and I really feel very strongly. I was very honored to get the endorsement of the NRA, the earliest endorsement they've ever given. I'm pretty sure the earliest endorsement they've ever given to a presidential candidate. I have stayed with what they have been saying. And I'll tell you why, Bill. These people, Wayne and Chris, I think they get a bad rap. They are great Americans. They love our country. This is what they do. They really want what's good, I think, more than anything else for our country. And I have stayed very much with what they do.
Okay.
Having to do with the watch list, I would like to meet with them. I think we're going to meet, actually. I think something will be set up.
There's not big
opposition. Because the watch list to me is very important.
Okay.
The watch list to me is very important.
All right. Now we're going to hold Mr. Trump.
Now, when he says the watch list is important, Scott, does he mean that he's against it? Or, you know, I'm not sure he answered the question that O'Reilly asked him, other than he says that he supports the NRA's position. I guess maybe that's the answer.
Yeah. Well, you know, he made mention of enforcing the laws that are there. That would probably be a big step.
Well, yeah, I think that's the huge deal. I mean, that to me, yes. Why don't we enforce what we've got in place? I mean, it's just the way of government confusing the issue and making what should be a one-page law into thousands of pages of regulation, and then along with those regulations come, you know, added bureaucracy. We know the model and the format that the Beltway loves to do. I mean, this is, you know, as Ronald Reagan said, this is the closest thing to eternal life, this side of heaven is a government bureaucracy. So, you know, that's easy for them. It's just, you know, they do that stuff in their sleep. But, you know, it's like, okay, what's the line here? Are we going to allow the FBI to have this information? And what does this open us up to? I mean, you know, we start getting closer to that line that if it comes a time, as it did, it's not like it hasn't happened. It happened in Louisiana after Hurricane Katrina. You know, guns were confiscated. And, you know, is that what's in our future? Do we have to, in essence, fall off the roof and hit the ground and realize the law of gravity exists? Is this another, you know, law in action that just cannot help itself?
With any sort of tragedy, do we have to worry about them taking our guns?
Exactly.
You know, including, like you said, Katrina, a natural disaster. Do we have to worry about them taking our guns from us?
I mean, and here it is. I mean, like, you're going to, in Katrina, when you already had the government way behind the curve in trying to take care of people, you know, when you're in that kind of situation, it's about survival. It's survival and protection. And so you want to give up one of the things? I mean, well, when you come and get my guns, why don't you come and take my water and any kind of survival food I have in my shelves as well? Is that okay?
Yeah, I don't need that stuff, right?
I'm gonna wait another week or two for the government to finally bring, their supplies to me instead of me having self-reliance. And this is the rub between all this stuff. This is all an issue of self-reliance. That's what it comes down to. And I'm a little disappointed in that answer, to say the least. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. It's just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got more coming up.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care, as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Hey, it's about the things that you're most interested in, the things that will help get this country back on track. And we do so committed to the truth, no matter where we may find it. And one of the places that we can find the truth is in our history. And our next guest, Derek Beck, who wrote the book on the war before independence. Yes, there was a war that took place. I mean, you look back at some of the history of this great country, and you realize that there was a lot of debate. There was a lot of contention that went through, that you had this dynamic tension between, you know, people that wanted to stay associated with Britain and others that said, wait a minute, I think we can do something better here. We can be independent. Now, let me give you a little background of Derek Beck. Has always had a passion for military history, which inspired him to start his career in the U.S. Air Force. He has served as an officer on active duty in science roles and in space operations. In 2005, he earned a Master of Science degree at MIT, where he also fell in love with Boston's revolutionary past. To more fully pursue writing, he later transitioned to the Air Force Reserves, though he still remains quite active presently, holding the rank of major. Derek Beck, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thank you, first of all, for your service to this great country, for believing in the dream of our founding fathers, and pursuing life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for your support.
Well, your book, Igniting the American Revolution, The War Before Independence, we're talking about the period of 1775, 1776. Derek, give us the background that our founding fathers found themselves in at that point.
Well, basically, interestingly enough, before the Declaration of Independence in 1776, July 1776, the founding fathers were not really thinking about founding anything. They were simply wanting to be treated more like British citizens in Britain. And they were kind of treated in America like second-class citizens. So really the fight and the struggle at the beginning, before any shots were fired especially, was just equality for British Americans as if they were citizens in the British Isles. And then, of course, after the first shots are fired, then things start to change, but it's not overnight. So people, even in 1775, after the first shots, people are not yet talking about independence. So that's kind of the origin of the title of the book.
I mean, you know, if the Crown would have accepted and embraced the colonies, I mean, it was a golden opportunity for them, but for them not to see this and, you know, decided the answer was oppression. You know, we've seen stories time and again in history when you get the wrong answer to the question. And now you start going down a path that leads to the inevitable, and in this case, the American Revolution.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Parliament was very oppressive towards Boston in particular. After the Boston Tea Party, Parliament demanded that Bostonians repay the cost of that tea, which I forget exactly how it translates to modern dollars, but it's in the
like over $2 million from what I understood.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so meanwhile, one of the ways that they coerce, and they pass these several acts called the coercive acts, we call them in America the intolerable acts.
Mm-hmm.
But one of these several acts was to close the port of Boston. So now you've put a bunch of people out of work and you send a bunch of troops there to enforce this, and you got a bunch of people with time on their hands surrounded by troops, and it was just waiting for something to ignite, and there were street brawls and lots of fighting before any actual shots were fired. But to put a bunch of people out of work, cause an economic depression in Boston, and meanwhile expect them to repay this tea, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, yeah, you bring the soldiers in from the number one fighting force on the planet at the time, and they're looking at these colonists, and particularly these Boston colonists, as rebels, and, you know, they just, they were less than people, and so they thought nothing of abusing them and, you know, causing the ruckus that they did, as they felt they had every right to do, right?
Well, and exactly, and I think the other thing from the British soldier perspective, and that's kind of one of the things I try to highlight in my books, is giving equal balance to both sides. Mm-hmm. From the British soldier perspective, most of them didn't really want to be there in Boston, and Bostonians did, in fact, dump this tea. So from the British perspective, they're like, just repay this so we can get out of here. I don't want to be here.
Right.
And, you know, there's other things I should be doing as a soldier versus being a police force in Boston. So...
yeah, for my wayward cousin here, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, well, and even George Washington complained that, you know, although he supported the struggle in Boston, he wrote that he didn't support dumping of the tea. And one of the interesting things is the tea was not British government tea. So the throwing of the tea in the harbor was not actually a act against Parliament. It was act against a fairly private East India Company. This was business company tea. This wasn't Parliament's tea. So
exactly. Who is Dr. Joseph Warren?
Dr. Joseph Warren is, in my mind, the leader of the start of the revolution in Boston. He is the guy that's running everything when all the names we know, like John Hancock, Sam Adams, John Adams, they're away in Philadelphia at the Continental Congress. Joseph Warren's the guy really running things. He's ultimately elected as the provincial Congress for Massachusetts as their president. This is an illegal Congress, but he's basically acting as the revolutionary governor, defying the royally appointed governor.
Mm-hmm. So did he start to formulate the vision and future of an America, or was it just trying to manage these troubled times that that the colony found itself in?
Exactly. So he was definitely contacting his delegates, the Adamses and Hancock, away in Philadelphia. And one of the things he was talking about is what a new government would look like. He's very visionary in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things he was pushing for, which did come to pass, was that he felt like the militias that were around Boston and by the middle of 1775 had surrounded the British and penned them up in Boston. Dr. Joseph Warren felt that it was time to create a united continental army and that we needed some kind of general to lead this, and probably one that wasn't from Massachusetts. So he was starting to lay the groundwork for George Washington to come along.
Well, we know the motivation. So how did they end up getting together, Dr. Joseph Warren and George Washington?
Well, unfortunately, Dr. Joseph Warren never beat George Washington.
Really?
So I'd like to think the Battle of Bunker Hill is kind of the first major pitched battle outside of Boston, just across the river.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a leadership change. Dr. Joseph Warren ultimately dies, unfortunately, at the battle, and George Washington is still on his way. And so George Washington effectively takes leadership, or receives the baton from Warren, who has died just days earlier.
Unbelievable. What a interesting story on that transition. I had not heard this before, and we want to hear more. It is the War Before Independence, 1775 to 1776. Derek Beck is with us. I hope you're taking notes. This is good stuff. Great book. Very fascinating. when you realize, more in depth. These are things we're not learning in schools today, all right? But you learn them here on Bill Martinez Live. It's just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour. More with Derek right after this.
It only takes 7 seconds to make a good first impression, or a bad one for that matter. What if it only took 7 seconds to get to work in the morning? Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. The 7-second walk is a turnkey home business system. We are looking for individuals who would like to earn from $500 to $5,000 a month, working from home with their own home-based business. All you need is a computer, internet access, and a telephone. You choose your own hours, and you can work in your PJs if you want. What most people like best about the 7-second walk is our national advertising campaign that can have customers calling you. We will teach you everything you need to know to be successful. So, if you could use some extra money and would like to be your own boss, go to 7secondnow.com and request your free info pack. I'll bet you could get used to a 7-second commute. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com. Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com.
Here's Dr. Paul Meyer, Christian psychiatrist, author of 85 books, and founder of the national chain Meyer Clinics, to tell you about To Your Health liquid vitamins.
I've been taking these every day for over a decade now, and I try to encourage every one of my clients to take them every day, and there's a number of reasons. First of all, it's the best vitamin you can get. It's got dozens of vitamins, antioxidants, and nutrients in it. And then the most important reason why I do it as a psychiatrist and recommend it to my patients is because it's got brain food in it. It's got the essential amino acids. It's got tryptophan, phenylalanine, tyrosine, choline, vitamin B6, and these chemicals that are all natural from food turn into the brain chemicals that make you happy.
To Your Health is delicious. Find out more today. Call us 800-801-3459 or visit online at mytoyourhealth.com. Use the coupon code RADIO15 for a 15% discount on your order. That's mytoyourhealth.com.
Piedmont attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly, certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live. BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, whether it's online or our 280-plus affiliates, including even Red State Talk Radio, our new affiliate in Kentucky, which we'll be telling you about more in the coming days. Welcome aboard. Good to have you here. Bill Martinez live at just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. This is some of the praise about Derek Beck's work here. Let me read this to you. It says, popular and scholarly historians have retold parts of this tale in recent years, but none have done so in such a dramatic, cinematic, and compelling fashion. Military enthusiasts will find gripping accounts of operations while their overall relation to the revolutionary landscape is fully manifest. This is what Samuel Forman, the author of the biography of Dr. Joseph Warren, had to say about Derek Beck's new book, The War Before Independence. We're talking a two-year period, roughly, 1775 to 1776. Derek, the book, I take it, is available at all of the usual places, right?
Exactly. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and hopefully your local bookstore as well.
Well, great. And then you have a website as well that you can direct the folks to on this?
Exactly. My website is www.derekbeck.com, DerekBeck.com. And for those of your listeners on the East Coast, I'm currently on a book tour along the East Coast, giving talks and doing book signings through New York, D.C., and New Jersey, Philadelphia, Trenton area.
Well, that's great. Well, they probably won't allow you in any of the colleges because they just think you're talking about some other history and not necessarily America, so sadly, because this is great work and very well researched, and you're revealing some things that have been lost in translation over the years. We mentioned Dr. Benjamin Church's name here just a moment ago. Let's bring him to the front. Explain who Dr. Benjamin Church was.
He is largely forgotten, I think, outside of Boston, but he's truly the first major traitor for the American Revolution. So he's an American Bostonian area he grew up in, and he's also a well-placed supposed patriot. He's even given like speeches about how the British had committed this atrocity at the Boston Massacre in 1770. He's really kind of well-respected and part of the inner circle of the revolutionary leadership. But at the same time, he is actually passing intelligence to the royal governor, who is also the general in charge of the British Army, General Thomas Gage. So he's definitely playing both sides, and he's very well placed.
Wow. And then, kind of having insurance on his bet here? He's backing his bet in case, the revolutionaries and the colonists would win, he'd still have a position, or he'd be covered by the British, right?
He's supposedly collecting money, but we never have any proof even today of how he collected that money or how much. And some of his records are lost, and I think maybe some of those records were burned in disgust with him sort of after it was discovered that he was a spy. So we don't know all the details, but he was certainly – he was eventually captured, and he expresses that he was really just trying to avert a war and that he was trying to avert bloodshed. But it doesn't seem logical based on his position and some of the things that he did. But we really don't know exactly all of his motives, unfortunately.
Well, in your book, you address our neighbors to the north. The Canucks were helpful to the cause, right?
So, yeah, that's probably one of the biggest things I never learned when I was in elementary school, is that Canada plays a vital role in the American Revolution. So, for example, the hero for the early part of the Canadian campaign is Benedict Arnold. So we were just talking about spies and traitors. Right. Benedict Arnold is a hero at the beginning of the war. And, in fact, he's remembered so much as the traitor because he fell so far from being hero status up there with George Washington to traitor and supporter of the British. But the Battle of Quebec is sort of this epic battle through a blizzard on New Year's Eve, 1775. And the real goal for it is to basically occupy the other major British force in North America. In Canada, their goal is to occupy them long enough for George Washington to sort of force the British from Boston.
Well, in In your book, you reveal new research and never-before-published documents and letters that are shedding new insight and light on this lead-up to the American Revolution. Break that down a little bit more for us, if you would. What new things? I mean, we touched a little bit on, you know, Canada, people not being, this is the first, when I read it in your book, first I realized that, Canada was, was a great ally for us.
Yeah, interestingly enough, from the Canadian side, they were actually invited as the 14th colony to the Second Continental Congress, but they decided they were going to wait and see which way the wind was blowing, so they didn't send anyone.
Right.
Now, during the Battle of Quebec City and the lead-up to that, there are Canadians that fight on both sides for the British as well as for the Americans. Mm-hmm. So they were very much divided. And so, there's a lot of things like that that I discovered along the way when I was writing. One of the probably the most important things, I think, is the discovery of how Dr. Joseph Warren died. He dies at the Battle of Bunker Hill, as I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
He was reinterred four times after this battle. Once when in 1850s, and at that point, his nephew, who was the founder of Mass General Hospital, had the foresight to take photographs of the skulls, and we got to actually see how Joseph Warren died now. And these images were lost for a long time, but they're in the book, in the back of the book, mm-hmm. so people can see exactly that he was shot in the face, and based on the size of the entry wound, it was likely a pistol, which means an officer or an officer servant, not the not one of the soldiers on the field at Bunker Hill.
It almost looks point blank, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the muzzle velocity of guns back in that time was very low, and there's actually a blast hole out the back of the skull, which means it was very close, and Joseph Warren definitely saw his assailant before he died.
Admiral Samuel Graves, some of the information, new information, research you picked up from his unpublished manuscript biography, right?
Yeah, so he's the admiral in charge for the start of the revolution, and he basically wrote a long biography, and it's never been published, but there's a lot of interesting details in there. And some of it is understanding what the Royal Navy did, for example, during the Battle of Bunker Hill. There's a lot of books, for example, that don't describe what the ships are doing or even the right ships that are at the battle, but thanks to Graves, we actually have all that detail. We can know when the ships started firing, how they were aware the Americans were starting this fortification even before the British actually reacted, that mm-hmm. sort of thing.
How did you get your hands on this stuff? I mean, it's an unpublished manuscript. This is a lot of hard work. I mean, research is hard anyway. But to, get the extra mile like this, I cannot thank you enough to be able to, have this kind of information now available.
So a lot of these documents are scattered in different archives, but some of them you just stumble across. So I didn't have the luxury of going to London, but I hired someone that was basically research for me, and I told him the kind of things I was looking for, and he was well-versed in the archives there. Yeah. And then the Graves' documents, they're actually buried somewhere in London as well, but there was a researcher about 100 years ago that basically transcribed a copy, and it's here in Massachusetts. And so anyone could actually go and see this document.
Well, Derek Beck, The War Before Independence, 1775, 1776. Derek, what's the big takeaway you want for your readers on this?
Basically, I have a lot of information on my website about the books and different new discoveries. DerekBeck.com is where to find out information as well as the book talk.
So it is quite illuminating. As Derek said, he didn't learn it in grade school. We know the colleges aren't teaching this either, but I'll tell you, this is well worth visiting. 1775, 1776, learn more about our history so we don't have to repeat the mistakes we made before, right? Derek Beck on Bill Martinez Live.
Thousands of Americans are losing weight and feeling better with the 10, 2, and a Chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
Since I started taking the Nusmina, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the Nufina because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet, and I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles, and it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The Nufina Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10-2 and the Chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayItLook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. It could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ILikeTheWayItLook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ILikeTheWayItLook.com. ILikeTheWayItLook.com.
You know, we've seen these crazy diets to lose weight, right? You know, some of us have tried many of them. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, our healthy body weight loss system simply saturates the body with nutrition, bringing down cravings. It's been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Sweating during a good workout at the gym is a release of all 90 essential nutrients, leading to a further deficiency, causing an even greater craving for carbs, sugars, and fats. Diet and exercise cannot curb appetite, like saturation of mineral vitamins, amino acids, and essential fatty acids. Stop the weight gain cycle and lose weight the easy way with properly blended, specifically targeted nutrition. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, Longevity, or call 855-305-8326. Fighting cravings is a losing fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, that's 855-305-8326. 855-305-8326.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. I'm a former 22-year congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about something that just might save your lives. You never know when there will be another Katrina, an economic collapse, or a serious drought. We should all have a little food storage that will carry us through tough times. I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared. It's a home freeze dryer. With the product, you can preserve the food your family loves. And the best part is the food will last 25 years and still taste great. I've tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right, you can literally freeze dry anything you eat. Even things like ice cream. To learn more, call Harvest Right today at 800-594-4635 or go to harvestright.com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live. Online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Bill Martinez here with you. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. And if you want to drop me an email, hey, make sure you tell me you want to be in the running for that free DVD of The Young Messiah, DVD Blu-ray. We're giving them away. All you got to do is say, hey, Martinez, put me in the hoppa. We'll get you in the hoppa. And good luck. And if you're a winner, you will be having a free DVD copy, Blu-ray disc of the movie The Young Messiah to share with your family and your friends. Why not? Compliments of Bill Martinez Live. But just send me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Hey, we're going to talk about, the two Americas. You know, we're a bit schizophrenic. I mean, when you think about it, especially when you consider the immigration issue in this country today. And back with us, it's been a while since we've had a chance to talk with Irish John. John Dunn, an Irishman with a long, lifelong dream to become an American citizen. And, of course, he wants to do it the right way. And it's got to be a bit frustrating, as you can imagine. He's been waiting in line now for over 10 years for a U.S. Green card. But he loves and respects our country so much that he's not about to, be a lawbreaker. He wants to do it the right way. And I respect that and appreciate his desires. And when you hear about John Dunn, and if you've heard him before, you go, he is the kind of character, individual, that would add to the proposition of, a land of the free and the home of the brave. John Dunn, welcome to Bill Martinez. Always good to have you with us. How you doing?
Good. Top of the morning. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be back.
Wonderful. Let's talk about these two Americas. It's a bit schizophrenic. the America that we, the Americas that we live in today here, John, even from your perspective?
Well, the reason I put that out was because the more and more I see things and the more and more I see America, the road you're traveling, I have to separate the two Americas, because there's America, the landmass, there's America, the country, but also for me, there's the revolutionary idea that is America. America is the idea, the dream, the everything is possible. There is no glass ceiling. And I'm becoming, because I see a lot of politics going down the road of Europe. You know, you're accepting government has to be involved, and I'm looking at it going, that's not the America I love. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a lot of policies on all sides, and I'm kind of going, that's not what made America unique. That's not what made America exceptional in the first place. So instead of just mushing it all up and saying, well, let's just take the good and the bad, I'm saying there's two Americas. There's the country, which you kind of are lost at the minute. You know, there's not many people talking about the Constitution. There's not many people talking about what made you exceptional. Your people, not your politicians, your people. Mm-hmm. And then there's the idea, and that's what I'm trying to promote. I try and promote the idea that is America. Because the sad thing is, 200 years ago, your country was founded. Even to this day, the principles that the America founded are still revolutionary.
Exactly.
They still work, and we need to promote them as much as possible and get that hope and dreams out there. And also, because I'm seeing, I engage with a lot of people publicly and privately, and it saddens me that the amount of people who come to me and say something along the lines of, John, America is not what it used to be, or America's best days are behind her and not ahead of her. And I'm trying to say, okay, let's address that. How can we make America's best days still be ahead of her? Mm-hmm. And for me, it boils down to return to your family principles, return to God, return to the Constitution, return to freedom. But mm-hmm. fundamentally, make your country about what made you great, the
exactly.
individual and the person, not who's running in the White House, not who's in Congress, not on the Supreme Court. They're important. I'm not saying they're not. But make it about the people.
Well, and our founding fathers understood that, John. That's why they said we, the people, and I say it's the three most powerful words in the U.S. Constitution, and the people need to wake up to that, that the power is truly with the people. In the 60s, that was the big rallying cry, you know, power to the people. Well, the people have the power. You just got to exercise it. And what's happening slowly but surely is the people are waking up and realizing, you know, something that Bill Clinton said years ago, the era of big government is over. Well, you know, the people didn't stamp it down. We allowed it to grow itself. It's $19 trillion in debt. Our culture is in a whirlwind of chaos. And the people are realizing this is what happens when you allow big government to overshadow the obvious. And that is that it's up to we, the people, to get this thing back on track. So your observation, you know, from your perspective as a non-citizen across the pond there, so to speak, is brilliant. I mean, you're exactly right on. And I'm here in this country.
Well, that's what my job is. I'm here to wait. Please God, one day I'll get to live my dream. I don't know whether that's in the cards or not, because it is an incredibly hard process. But if not, I'm just going to do everything in my power to say I live in a country which is at best described socialist, at worst described something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want America's future to be my future. I don't want your people to have to go through what I go through on a daily basis. You know, tyranny isn't fun. And there's one thing I always say to people, because people always go, well, is Ireland really that bad, or is Europe that bad? I always say, it mightn't be that bad. It's not North Korea by any stretch of the imagination. It's not Cuba. It's not Venezuela.
Right. Right.
But it is still a soft tyranny. And it's not that it's not that bad. It's that America is that good. And the proof of the pudding is, no matter where you go on this circle that we call planet Earth,
mm-hmm.
you will always know about the American dream. I've been very fortunate with many different jobs and through personal to travel a lot of places around the world. I've yet to hear of the Russian dream, the Chinese dream, the European dream, even though I have never heard of, I've got this dream, I want to be Irish. It sounds great, but it doesn't happen.
Right.
But everywhere I go.
Well, that's only on St. Patty's. That's only on St. Patty's Day here in America, John. You know, because they say you either are or you're not. And so everybody turns everything green, and it's good to be green for a day.
Absolutely. But the thing is, it's only for a day.
Yes.
But the great thing about America is I don't care whether you're Irish, European, Asian, Australian, black, white, gay, straight, big, small, fat, skinny. Everyone knows about the American dream, and people want to pursue it. And why is that? Because the American dream, quite simply put, is you can get to a land that's filled with opportunity, and you can do things that most other nations can't do.
Mm.
And that's the simple thing, and that's what we need to put on a pedestal. It's not your landmass. It's America isn't great because of where you're situated or because you have an abundance of natural resources. Mm. America is great because you focus in on principles of the individual. And
exactly.
That is what I think we need to do for America, but we also need to spread it throughout the rest of the world, and I'm trying to do my little bit.
Well, you know, thank you so much for doing it, because I feel in my way, John, here in this country and seeing our freedoms dissipate, to me, my observation, similar to yours, is that this is the land of big dreams. Not only big dreams, but also the chance and opportunity to realize those dreams. And when people really get a grip of what that means and how frustrated they are because they have kowtowed to a government and a form of oppression that has limited their dreams. I mean, I think of the black communities and even some Hispanic communities as well, John, that have been stifled and dreams have been cut short. I mean, you know, just on one issue alone, the abortion issue. I mean, we've had so many blacks annihilated, and you think, wow, what did we kill in the process? Did we kill somebody that could have invented the answer for cancer? In the Hispanic community, you know, we got about 26% of the abortion rates have happened in the Hispanic community. What illness could we have eradicated that we eradicated and preempted because of this progressive mindset that has pervaded our country and has compromised life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all of mankind, not just for elites? Our conversation with John Dunn continues on the other side of the break, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, I hope you heard what he just said. Absolutely brilliant. You're taking it from somebody who wants to become a citizen the right way, who has experienced a European form of government, as he calls it there in Ireland, a soft form of socialism. And hopefully he's waking you up to this new reality that we're faced here in this country.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. That's 800-808-5181.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details in the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD, and if untreated, could lead to blindness. The good news? AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that may reverse some vision loss. For free AMD information, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. There is a cure in sight.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Yeah, we're listening to Eric Clapton shred the guitar. That's what we're listening to. Oh, yes. 14 before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Jonathan Dunn is with us, an Irishman with a lifelong dream to become an American citizen. You know, you listen to John talk and you go, if you had the power, we'd get him his green card. I mean, he's been waiting in line for 10 years, doing it the right way. He respects our country way too much, the rule of law way too much to violate that and try to jump the line. He's been waiting his turn. I mean, you can imagine 10 frustrating years, and his is one of millions of would-be immigrants to this country that believe in our country, that could add to the proposition. They're not coming here to do us harm. They're coming here to do us good. John, as we were talking about the era of big government, its aspiration, its dream stealing that it does, there are so many unintended consequences of big government and these progressives that continue to march forward regardless of the results. Case in point, the war on poverty. Give us a comparison of poverty in a soft socialistic environment like Ireland and what's happening from your perspective here in America.
Well, the definition of poverty has changed so much over the years. Like, if you look at in like places like America, you know, if you don't go out with your friends once a month, you're classed as impoverished. If you don't have a game console, you're classed as impoverished. So the first thing we need to understand is the definition of poverty has changed greatly. And if you or I were to go to, I don't know, somewhere in South America and say, this is our definition of poverty, they bite your hand off and laugh at you.
Exactly.
But the saddest thing I have ever seen is I used to do a lot of volunteering work with poor people in Ireland, and it was part of a big, you know, we'd go out and we'd help people who were poor in poverty. And the worst thing I ever saw was you see these people, and they're so dependent on government. They don't understand it's a cycle. And they get help from the government. The government saying, oh, vote for me. I'll fight for you. I'll give you more. I'll get you more benefits, and I'll get you more unemployment, and I'll get you your gas paid, and I'll get you cheaper rent, and I'll get you cheaper clothes, and I'll get you. And you know, you need me in power because, you know, that evil boy over there, if I don't win and he gets in, you're going to get all these cuts.
Right.
And you're so dependent on government that it comes a cycle, because you have now generations, and I've visited them, where you have kids in households who have never seen their parents work. they just have accepted, you know, mommy and daddy are home. And that's if there is a mommy and a daddy. Sometimes there's just one. Mm-hmm. And they don't understand the cycle of work. And they just go through life as no dreams, no ambitions. It's just, we watch TV, yeah, you go to school, you don't do well. And it's just cycle after cycle. And for me, I think it's so sad because I look at people going, look at all the things you could do. You could have such a better life if you didn't believe what the politicians sold you and the media sold you that says someone is trying to take something from you. We need to empower people and say, you can do it by yourself. You don't need a politician. You know, it's fitting. A couple of weeks ago, we celebrated two big anniversaries that no one really paid attention to. One was Ronald Reagan's 12th year anniversary of his death.
Yes.
And a couple of Sundays ago, it was the 72nd anniversary of the D-Day landings. Mm-hmm. What have those two got in common? Both of them did not need a politician. They did it themselves. Mm-hmm. They did great things. Let's start with D-Day. Why are those people called the greatest generation? Are they be called the greatest generation because some politician saved them? Because some, you know, president or prime minister saved the day? Or are they called the greatest generation because they pushed and sacrificed and put their lives on the line, storming the beaches of Normandy to overcome an evil? Ronald Reagan. Why was Ronald Reagan a great president? Why, you know, your presidential elections were on, and it's funny, you always mention Reagan, you never mention anybody else like Washington or Jefferson or Coolidge. It's always Reagan. But why was Reagan great? Reagan was great because he put the power to the people. Mm-hmm. He went to Gorbachev and said, I'm not going to win the Cold War, my people are.
Yes.
You know, you mocked him in the day with Star Wars, but he convinced Gorbachev, not only are my people who are free going to outproduce weapons, but also life-saving materials better than your people who you treat as second-class citizens. That was a big part of winning the Cold War because he believed in your people. He
exactly.
didn't say, you need me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you do it yourself. We'll cut taxes. We'll get government out of the way. And then a free people will always outproduce a people who are treated as second-class citizens. That is what we need today. We don't need... Look at the politicians today. How many politicians today in Ireland, in England, in America go, you don't need me. I'll go there and I'll get government out your way. But how many of them go, oh, you need me to fight for you.
Exactly.
You're a victim.
Yeah.
I'll fight for you.
Right.
And that's what I find so sad.
Yeah, it is. It is sad. And, you know, this government has created a dependent class of people. I mean, since the war on poverty and President Johnson in 1964, where we just created this incredible entitlement all under the name of war on poverty, and there wasn't a consideration for empowerment, it was just handouts. And and now you created this dependent class. To the degree, John, over these years, over 50 years that we've been investing in this war on poverty, we have spent over $22 trillion, with a T, as in Tom, $22 trillion on this war on poverty, and the measurement has moved from 15% to 15.1%. What a great job we've done with $22 trillion.
Absolutely. But even though one step further, the thing I always get, and this is a debate from the start of this year, really frustrated me. The debate over ethanol subsidies.
Yes.
The war on poverty is huge, but it's average people who, you know, everyday people have accepted the government in their lives. The amount of people who argue and say, you know what, we don't need ethanol subsidies. I would love to see a free market argument out there, but if you can't give me a free market argument, give me that argument that's based on success. Because as an ethanol subsidies, as a program, it's a commercial failure. Like your war on poverty, you spent $22 trillion to get what? An extra 0.1% of the population in poverty. You know, if you want to make those arguments on success, great. I would love to see them based on principle.
Exactly.
But have it either way. But we can't have that.
Right.
Because it's just you're taking away from people.
Well, every one of these arguments, John, you know, that we've been facing here in America, whether it's the war on poverty, ethanol subsidies, green energy, all this stuff, you say, okay, let's have a conversation about it. Let's be responsible, but let's not get into crony capitalism, which is what's happened in many cases, and the free market system is not operating. Time and again, when the free market system operates, it rises to its level of excellence, and people are blessed, and there's more independence. But God forbid that that would happen here in the United States, because unless a politician can be in a position to take credit for it and ensure his life forever in the government with all the entitlements that go with it, well, then, you know, it's unacceptable.
Absolutely. And let me, if I may, just tell you a quick story, because this troubles me. I've looked back in my life, and the first economic lesson I ever learned in Ireland was a very simple one. And the more I get older, the more I actually think how frightening this is that we teach this to our kids. It's a very simple economic lesson. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And that is drilled into people from a very young age in a socialist country. And what that means is, it doesn't matter if you have this great invention, like, you know, the next iPad. If you don't have the right contacts, it doesn't matter. It won't work. You have to pay off the right people. You have to get the right people on your side. You have to get, you know, you have to grease the wheels of government.
Exactly.
And I think the one reason I love America so much is because of free market capitalism. It's sad what is considered capitalism today. I don't support some of the stuff that goes on, because it's not capitalism. It's cronyism. It's big government.
Exactly.
It's corruption. I support free market capitalism, where there is no government involvement, and the final decision of whether a product succeeds or fails is with the people.
Exactly.
And their power is whether they like it. If people think this product is great, guess what's going to happen? They're going to buy a lot of it. If it's dreadful, it'll go out of business real quick. But then again, we have an ever-ending cycle of government where it's now, well, you know, we can't let that company go bankrupt, right?
Yes, in some cases, yes.
But in a lot of cases, like, what industry could... Let me ask you this question, because I don't know of any. What industry do you think that we would allow to go to fail today?
I mean, when it comes to the things that the government is most concerned about, whether it's green energy, although, you know, what happened was Solyndra did fail. And the government, it was interesting because the government played both sides. They were almost a double agent and against our own money. So that one went down. Certain banks, they will allow certain banks to fail. But the bigger ones, they're not about to. Certain automotive industries at a smaller level, you know, they'll look at it. And it also depends on the cycle, John, that we're in. If we're close to an election cycle, they're going to do everything they can, you know, to buttress it up. Excuse me. Go ahead.
No, I'm just looking at all the bodies, including American. I'm like, you know, I couldn't see them letting the likes of Apple or Microsoft or Skype, you know, all these big companies, McAfee, any of these big companies fail if a major twist in the market came. I don't see any big company. Obviously, the smaller companies will always be tough luck. It's, you know, you got to sink or swim. But
right.
The bigger companies now, it's like Google. They wouldn't let. They would come up with 10,000 reasons why you need to bail them out, because it gets them more power and control.
Well, you know, John, you're probably more right and wrong with these other organizations. They get so big and so massive, and they employ so many people. There is that justification, and it's already been there's already been a precedent for it. So no doubt, John, how can people connect with you here in America with you?
The best thing is to find me on Twitter at Freedom Disciple, or you can go to my website, www.freedomsdisciple.com.
John Dunn, I'm Bill Martinez. Thank you, John. Maybe we'll see you in Ireland in a couple of weeks. That is a wrap for us. Thank you, America.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
866-91-STEEL.
866-91-STEEL. One Steel.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year.
That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.